Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference call of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A. financial results for the second quarter of 2022. Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session, and instructions to participate will be given at that time. If you should require assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Today with us, we have Eugênio Figueiredo, the CEO of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A. and CFO of Prumo Logística S.A. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Figueiredo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Priscila. Good morning, good afternoon. Thank you so much for attending the call for the second quarter 2022 for Prumo Participações. We're going to go through some of the highlights and then have a Q&A session. So first, we'll start talking a little bit about the volume handled on the second quarter. Ferroporte handled 4.3 million metric tons of iron ore in this quarter, which represents a decrease of 28.5% comparing to the 6.1 million tons of iron ore that was handled during the same quarter in 2021. The decline was due to unplanned maintenance stoppages in Anglo's operations at the beginning of the second quarter of 2022. In relation to the production outlook, Anglo revised its forecast for the full year from 24 to 26 million metric tons to 22 to 24 million metric tons for the whole year of 2022. Prumopar and Ferroporte financial results in this quarter were positively impacted by an increase of 21% year over year in the PPI, which is the index that escalates the tariff, which compensated the negative effect of the exchange rate variation. US dollar depreciated against the Brazilian real from an average of 5.19 BRL per USD in the second quarter of 2021 to 5.01 for the same period of 2022. Both effects actually resulted in a growth of 10% year over year on revenues from iron ore handling to 266.4 million BRL. It's important to remember that the escalation of the PPI, it's actually two-thirds of the full index. Revenues from T-Oil Terminal, which are the port access fees, increased over 50% year over year to a total amount of 9.1 million BRL in the second quarter of 2022. EBITDA presented a decrease of 11.2% comparing to the same period of last year, reaching 160.6 million BRL. EBITDA margin decreased to 65.7%, mainly due to an increase on the third-party services caused by the execution of the dredging services on the second quarter of this year and higher costs with consumables and spare parts. But if we isolated the dredging costs effects, like we usually show on the adjusted EBITDA, we would have a margin with relatively stable, a little bit above 77% compared to the first quarter of 2022. Ferroporte distributed to Prumopar and Anglo American in this quarter 116.8 million BRL as dividends in the second quarter of 2022. And it's important to remind that on the first quarter of 2022, the intercompany loan was fully repaid by Ferroporte to its shareholders. On the material that we released on the site, you can see the graph with the total amount of the adjusted EBITDA quarter by quarter since the first quarter 2021 and the adjusted EBITDA margin for each one of the quarters. And then you can see that from the first quarter 2021 to the second quarter 2022, we're having and facing a variation of percentages around 77 to 85% within this period. Going now to Ferroporte consolidated financial, we're gonna talk a little bit about the most important movements. First, we'll talk a little bit about the income statement. When we take a look on the second quarter 2022, we can see that revenues from the item or take or pay increased 9.9% to 266.4 million, as I said in the beginning. Again, mostly due to the positive impact of the full PPI of 21% in 2021. And with a reminder that we escalated that by 2/3 of this total amount. Tariffs varied so from $7.03 per ton in 2021 to $8.02 in 2022. On the other hand, this impact was partially offset by the depreciation of the US dollar against the BRL. And we have a strong increase of over 50% on the excess fee from the T-oil, a little bit above 9 million BRL from 46 operations within this quarter. Cost of services increased 75.8%, mostly because of the costs with dredging. And we have this dredging campaign every 2 years, which didn't occur on the last year. And by the increase as well of costs with consumable spare parts on the period of slightly above 9 million BRL. On the overall operating expenses, they increased 64.1% due to an increase in the provision of expenses in litigation process, caused by an update of the disputed amount, but not any change on the likelihood of the outcome, and due to an increase depreciation and amortization of 0.3 million BRL as well. During the second quarter of 2022, the company sold 0.8 million BRL of non-consumed electric energy, which reflected in an additional income of the same amounts. Net financial income summed 5.4 million in the first half of 2022 compared to a net financial loss of 19.7 million on the same period of last year. These movements were mainly explained by the full repayment of the intercompany loans on the first quarter of 2022, which reduced the interest on loans from 9.2 million in the first half of 2021 to 1 million in the first half of 2022. The penalty for tax parcellation of 11.4 million that occurred during the second quarter of 2021 and was concluded during the second quarter of 2022, and the higher interest income of 9.4 million caused by the increase of CDI, which is the basic rate for the cash investments here in Brazil. Moving on to the cash flow statements, Ferroporte reported a cash flow from operating activities of 122.9 million BRL for the second quarter of 2022, 5.1% lower if compared to the same period of 2021. This result was mostly driven by the lower net income before taxes, decrease in other cash adjustments accounts, which are partially offset by the increase of the working capital variation accounts. When we look to the CapEx, it summed up for 2022, 21.2 million BRL. The main expenditures were related to painting and corrosion repairing and projects related to the maintenance of the electrical equipment at the substation. The remainder was associated to other stay-in-business CapEx, especially minor repairs for operation efficiency and environmental compensation. On the second quarter 2022, as we said before, Ferroport distributed 116.7 million of dividends to both shareholder Promopar and Anglo. On the balance sheet, it's important to highlight that the consolidated cash and securities position at the end of the second quarter were 161.9 million. And current receivables from related parties summed 109.6 million BRL. The lower cash position presented is mainly due to exchange rate variation on the period, as the revenues are converted from USD to BRL on a monthly basis when the taker pays is actually paid. Now going for the Promopar financials, we're going to talk a little bit first on the income statement. On the second quarter, Promopar reported a net financial loss of 179.9 million versus a profit of 159.5 million on the same period of 2021. Mostly due to the negative impact of the exchange variation on loan, which impacted negatively the financial costs. The results of equity in income of subsidiaries remained stable and summed 49.9 million on the second quarter. The net loss on the period amounted to 133 million versus a net income of 209 million for the same period of 2021. Highlights on the cash flow of Promopar, we have dividends being received from Ferroport of 58.4 million. As mentioned before, in March of 2022, we had the finalization of the payments on the of the intercompany loans. By the end of June of 2022, Promopar paid 8.6 million of principal and 57.9 million of interest related to the notes. Promopar presented a negative result of 2.9 million on its NDFs, considering the appreciation of the BRL at the end of June 2022. At last, on the balance sheet of Promopar, we had on the position of June 30th a reported cash and cash equivalents of 2.2 million BRL, a decrease of 83.8 million if compared to March 31st, 2022 position. This reflects the debt served by June 30th on the repayment of the notes. And it's important to mention that this amount is hedged in accordance with the accounts agreement. Regarding the escrow deposits and the loans and borrowings reported in the balance sheet, there was no increase in US dollars during the second quarter of 2022. Promopar's equity decreased 133 million BRL from negative 73.5 million in the second quarter of 2021 to a negative 206.5 million on the same period of 2022 as the result of the accounting losses for the period. So those were the highlights that we'd like to share with you guys. So I revert back so we can start the Q&A session if we do have any questions.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. As a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. And our first question comes from Irina Massey with Kadam and Rachel.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Could you provide a little bit of an update on the legal kind of developments there? You mentioned some of the reserves that you made. Just wanted to hear on the progress and expected timing of the outcome. Thank you.
Sorry, just Irina, to make sure if I got the point right, you're talking about the litigation process. Is that the question?
Yes, yes, please.
Oh, okay, okay. So the movement I was referring to was actually a change in the total amount being disputed with them. And as I emphasized, not on the likelihood of the outcome or let's be more transparent. There's no change on the, let's say, the potential losses at the dispute or at the discussion itself, but the total amount that's changed, that's why we have this correction. So this is a process that is being discussed actually for a few years already in dispute. And it was right in the beginning of the construction at Ferroporte back there in the first part of the construction of the terminal. And it's, on our view, going to be extended for a few years so far as well. But that was the adjustment on the total amount that's being requested by them and not, again, on the likelihood that's evaluated periodically by the lawyers in terms of the potential outcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And in terms of the commentary of expected timing or the resolution of that dispute?
Yeah, that's something that it's really tough to try to estimate when we should have an ultimate decision on this. I mean, discussions here in court in Brazil, they usually take long years, sometimes decades. This is, as I said, it has been in discussion, in dispute for quite a while already. And we don't have any visibility that this would actually come to an end in the short term, but things are still moving. But they're slow here, down here in Brazil, in these terms and this type of discussion.
Okay. Just to clarify, we're talking about this is the Anglo dispute?
No, no. The Anglo dispute was actually, so solved in 2020, in the beginning of 2020. Remember that this one that you just mentioned was started because of the problem they had on the pipeline in 2018, actually. And they Anglo, the take-or-pay payer, let's say, they for a period of 8 to 9 months in 2018, they didn't pay the take-or-pay, claiming force majeure. And we had an agreement through Ferroport with them in the beginning of 2020. When we have a settlement, they paid $60 million USD at that time for the finalization of that discussion.
Okay, just one last one on that transition of the counterparty on the take-or-pay agreement. Can you comment a little bit on that one?
I'm not sure if I got the question, King.
On one of the mines, the take-or-pay counterparty has been changed, right? Or in process to be changed?
No change on that.
Okay.
It's the same counterparty, which is Anglo, the company that owns and operates the mining, that it's linked to the port through the pipeline, and no change on that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Adam Turner with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, thank you for your time. Could you, I guess, provide some more background behind the negative impact of the exchange variation on loans for Prumopar in the second quarter?
Okay, we have the appreciation, actually, of the BRL against the US dollar, and that's the movement that's being reflected over the outcomes that I was describing. So when we have the payments of the notes that are denominated in US dollars, and then we have the financials presented in BRL, then we have those movements reflecting with the appreciation, as I described in the call. But I'm not sure if you're willing to have any more specific details, or just this general overview on the movement.
So it was limited to the FX moves in USD BRL, or were there any other factors?
Yeah, no, just that. We're always going to see those moving depending on the way the FX is changing, of course. With this specific movement, which is the appreciation of the BRL, then we see this negative impact on this.
Thanks.
Yeah, but just to make sure, at the end, as we have the take-or-pay denominated in US dollars and the conversions of that take-or-pay being done every month, as I said in the call as well, then we don't have a mismatch on this, and we have the hedging protection just to make sure that after we receive at Ferroport the take-or-pay amounts coming from Anglo, until we have the next repayment of the next installment at Prumopar, which is at most 6 months in between one thing and the other, we always hedge that portion against the next payment. So we're making protection for 7, 6, 5, 3, 2, and then we start aiming to the next installment on the protection, just to make sure we don't lose any value in between that. But the payment of the take-or-pay itself actually captures all the movements as they paid monthly, and the FX, it's being converted from USD to BRL through the FX of the last days of the previous month, right before the payments.
Again, if you would like to pose a question, please press star 1. This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Mr. Eugenio Figueiredo to proceed with his closing statements. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to extend this to everyone that actually joined the call. Thanks for your time. We're going to come back with the earnings report from the third quarter 2022 shortly on the next call. Thank you very much.
That does conclude Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A.'s financial results for the second quarter of 2022, our conference call for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day and thank you for using Quartus Call.